Welcome back to the Beast Game Podcast, and today we're coming back with episode 7 of The Mandalorian. But Grogu, baby yes. Grogu, was kidnapped by the Empire, and the Mandalorian and Boba Fett are now in search of young G, as we call him, on the streets. We're going to go to the man that every day he wakes up and says, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the gangstest, gangsterest of them all? And it's like, it's you, Big Mike. How you doing, Big Mike?
I'm all right.
And how do you feel about this episode?
Another solid episode, getting down to business for real. So not too many filler episodes, episodes that don't have a real purpose anymore. I thought the breakout was pretty straightforward. I thought it was going to be kind of a little more strenuous task, but the way they did it was, you know, straightforward to the point. Shout out for Boba Fett's armor looking very nice, nicely freshly painted. I like the way they played Mayfeld, this character. First season made him out to be a scoundrel, very about himself, selfish person, I guess a bad guy, so to speak. And in this episode, I felt like they really humanized him by the end. I mean, I think part of that is good writing. I felt like Bill Burr had very good acting. It's a really good episode because I think it sets, one, it gives him the character arc and kind of brings him almost full circle in a way, or at least carries him on, so I can see him definitely coming back in a later season, if not again the season finale, but shoot, probably season 3 or 4. The interaction between him and the Mandalorian was good. Bill Burr had a couple very good lines in it. We can get into that later. It's like the way it develops his character and really gave him his outlook wasn't what we thought in season 1, and that there was actually a lot more to him. Pedro Pascal takes his helmet off again. So I was sitting there laughing. All right, now I really need to know, was the whole thing bullshit? Or did he really have this quote-unquote meltdown one day? And again, it goes back to, for what? Because he literally had his helmet off for like arguably a good 5 minutes in this damn episode.
Was that the reason behind his meltdown that he didn't have any FaceTime?
I've heard a couple things. One, it started off with he was mad he didn't have FaceTime. I think it was both Overlord and this new dude I've been watching, Mike Zero, who both kind of said the same thing. Apparently, it wasn't so much the FaceTime. It was Grogu appears and everybody talked about Baby Yoda. And so it wasn't so much about him anymore. The show is called The Mandalorian. I'm The Mandalorian. Nobody's talking about me. They're talking about this little puppet. Season 2, they're like, okay, so you complain about not having your helmet off. And then the third episode, you meet 3 other Mandalorians. And right away, they take their helmets off like it's nothing. So you're sitting back like, okay, wait a minute. They can take their helmets off, but I can't. And then everybody's talking about Bogus. Ended up being kind of like almost like an ego thing where he was upset that he's not getting as much press. Yeah, I guess he felt he should have been. I guess he's arguing it was because he didn't have the helmet off, but they said the same thing everybody else said.
That's a bullshit ass.
Pettiness, yeah.
Right. But you got one of the top shows going right now.
The soul savior.
Everybody knows who you. Matter of fact, I know what you're about to say, Keith, and I agree with you. I'm going to let you have that moment. Go ahead, Keith.
He is the savior of Star Wars.
Exactly.
His voice and attitude, just him sitting in the sound booth, has saved it. I mean, he gave gravitas to a character that no one knew about. They said Pedro Pascal is going to be the Mandalorian. I'm like, oh, hello, Pedro Pascal. You won't see his face. That's about right, because he's the Mandalorian. It fits. Can understand why he didn't say anything now. And he kept his damn mouth shut when they questioned him about that. He could be 80 years old. That's about the only time he can come up and admit that there was any truth behind those rumors, because that'll just make him sound petty. Just like you said, Mike, that'll make him sound petty and just small. Dude, just ride the rainbow. Just enjoy the ride.
Right. Like I said, you have one of the top shows out now. Your character is amazing. And it also shows your acting skills. Because think about it. You got a emote with a fucking helmet on.
Which is what we pointed out season 1 was so great about it. Was the fact that this dude has a helmet on. But yet,
I knew exactly what he was feeling. So that's a good job as an actor. If that is true, if that is the reason why, or there was some type of rift, hopefully it's over and done.
Better square that away. Get that squared away right quick.
I would think by now it is squared away. I'm still on the fence. I'm just having a hard time believing this dude actually have a full-blown meltdown where they told him to leave set. Because they apparently got so bad, Favreau was like, look, just shut the fuck up and go. And they basically told him flat out, you can be replaced. You're a dude in the helmet and there's software now. Somebody can imitate your voice. We'll still get the show done. Like, the show's not going
to
end because...
I was about to say that, too. Like, dude, don't have a face. And the T-Crowder is just stunt double. Man, just put him in the damn mask and just put his voice. Well, the only problem is the acting.
They said, like, a good 80% of the time, it's the stunt people that's doing most of the movements and all that. It's just the dialogue scenes where Pedro is actually in the helmet. So he's not even in the helmet that long. Which, of course, right. Then, first. That's it. He's changed his tune a bit now. And I will point to the one interview he had kind of at the beginning of the season where they were talking to him about something. He's like, oh, you know, you're reading the script and you're trying to figure out where this is going. And she's like, you're like, oh, that's where it's going. And so I'm thinking by now, two things happened. Disney set him down, said what I already said they said, which is basically either shut the F up or you can roll because you can be replaced. Not a problem. And I think B is Favreau and Filoni, because they're already shooting season 3 and 4 back to back, probably set him down and show where all this is headed and what's coming up. And it's like, sit back and shut up, because you don't know what's going to happen in the long run.
It's fucking Star Wars, man. Once Mandalorian's over and done with, dude, you'll be immortalized.
He's already on the rise at the Game of Thrones.
He'll right. be getting the royalty checks for whatever figurines, toys that might have his likeness.
Yep. Real money is in the convention appearances.
Where I was about to go.
Oh, that's what Mark Hamill subsidizes his income.
Shoot, I'm telling you right now, once they start doing the conventions again, and if he decides to go to Dragon Con or San Diego Comic Con or New York,
it'll probably just be nothing but like Mandalorian photos, like a whole squad of Mandalorians.
If Dragon Con happened this year,
it will be.
It would have been a whole legion of them.
All right, well, let's go to Keith.
The last episode was pretty tense. This one was more along the lines of there was enough tension in the air, and the action sequences and set pieces were good. I like the whole, you know, runaway train or the long straightaway kind of chasing that was going on there. The fight scenes were really good. I was watching it with my wife. She was, the minute he took off his helmet, oh, he really loves him. He took his helmet off because he really cares about the child, not about Grogu and everything. So, okay, she gets it. That was huge. And to see someone who's not as invested in Star Wars as I am and steeped in all the lore and everything, I see the genius behind Grogu. And they've had a very successful hook with the child. It's kind of interesting because it can go either way if he's breaking the creed now, you know, change his own creed and do something else with it. But I enjoyed it. I liked it. Change of pace. Bill Burr, I knew he was going to be good. Hoped he would stick around and stay with the team.
I thought it was pretty good. It wasn't as much action as the past two episodes, but it wasn't really needed. This is the episode that I like to call The Calm Before the Storm. The next episode is the last episode, right?
Yep.
And I think it's going to be a doozy.
Yeah, and he already laid down the mandate. He's like, I want the child back now.
You have no idea what that child means. Fuck up a damn Star Destroyer to get that child.
There was a lot of good acting in it. It had some good action set pieces in it that was actually pretty cool. You also saw a lot of character progression, which I liked. You actually saw, everyone mentioned, that Bill Burr's character was not one-dimensional at all.
Yeah,
a lot
more wasn't really him. Expecting him to shoot that dude, though. But
no, I wasn't expecting it either, but he's way more well-rounded than people may have thought, and is more to him. So I expect him to be back in future seasons of The Mandalorian. Kind of got a glimpse of it in previous episodes this season, but this one solidified it even more, is that how much the Mando really cares for Grogu. You've seen it in the previous episodes. You can even see it in just in him emoting through the helmet. You could tell that Grogu means a lot to him. And then for him to actually take his helmet off or to even volunteer to do it and to actually do it, if that's not a sign of him loving that motherfucker, I don't know what is. That was cool. I don't know where this is going to go for him. Like Keith mentioned, that maybe this will open door for him to not be so rigid in his traditionalism, because it seemed like from what everyone else is saying that Mando take their helmets off.
Yeah, it's just a tradition.
Right? That's an old tradition. And it's kind of outdated, but if you still do it, you still do it. But if you don't do it, then you just don't do it. I guess it's just all about your perspective and what you believe in. That may all change now.
And Bill Burr's line that he told him alluded to that when he said the fact that everybody on Mandalore that fought in the war, you think they didn't have a choice. And then he said, if you were born on Mandalore, you believe one thing. If you're born on Alderaan, you believe another. But guess what? Neither one of them exists now.
Yeah.
And he told him, you bend your rules when shit gets hairy. You need to, you do whatever it is that you need to do. You're not so hardcore on the code as you say you are. That's why I said I really liked that scene. I was like, it's a good piece of writing and a good piece of acting by Bill Burr, because he had a very valid point. Dude, he told me, he said, you're wearing a stormtrooper helmet now. So you can't show your face, or you can't take the helmet off. Because guess what? You already took the helmet off now.
Where's you already showed your face. So what else is left? I really enjoyed this episode. And at the end, when he sent that message to Gideon, He wasn't joking around. He wasn't playing. And even in his face, you could tell that he knew that the Mando was serious. I'm looking forward to the next episode.
More of a situation like it was, like how Jango Fett was. He just took off his helmet when he was at home chilling.
Yeah, I think the show works best when it is more either acquiring information or a heist. I think that's when the show works the best. If you look at what I believe to be the most successful, the Disney Star Wars movies, which was Rogue One, that's what it was. It was a heist. Straightforward enough for people to understand. Need to see what happens next week. But yeah, overall, liked it. Not that second episode.
Yeah, I really didn't like that second episode, did you?
The second episode is trash. Yeah. Mike, how do you feel about that second episode of the season?
I told you, I literally could skip it. If I watched the season back right now, I would literally skip the second episode altogether. Watch the recap at the beginning of the third one, because it'll tell you what happened in the second one. And it's all you need to know. You picked up a frog lady, ran into some animals, and got on about his way. Like, yeah. There's not much else that we need to know.
All right, well, let's go to scores. So, Mike, what score would you give?
I give it a 9. Solid episode. I thought it was really good writing. Part of Bill Burr mentioned how they're setting that up. This can go a number of different ways. Again, Boba Fett, he's awesome always anyway. And Beat made a point when we talked about the sonic bomb that he let off, and that being a callback to Jango. I mean, Attack of the Clones, when Obi-Wan was chasing him. So I thought that was cool, too. I think Jay hit the nail on the head. This episode is definitely a calm before the storm. I got big expectations for Friday. I'm hoping for like an hour-long episode, start defense nonstop, and by the end of it, have my face be like, what in the fuck?
Yeah, because I will say that this episode was just about 30 minutes.
Pretty short, to the point. I've watched it like 3 times already.
Keith?
Give it a 9 as well. There was nothing negative I can say about it. Pacing was great. It was, again, to the point. A lot of good story beats. Advanced the plot and advanced overall story, character progression. So trying not to let my hopes go beyond what we might see next week. But this show's not really let me down. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it.
Jay?
I also give it a 9. It was a very good episode. Calm before the storm. A lot of character progression in this, which is always a good thing. That's never really a bad thing. I mean, it's needed for any story to be told. You need character progression. If not, the person shouldn't be a main character or a character you think about bringing back. So that's very important. I'm curious to see where this goes. I think the next episode is going to probably be insane. In my mind, it should be one of the longest episodes, probably at least 40, 45 minutes, maybe an hour. But we'll see. Or it may be another 30-minute episode and just leave you on a cliffhanger. It could do that too. But I am looking forward to it regardless. But I give it a 9.
I'm going to give it a slightly lower score, so I'm going to give it an 8. Yeah, just because I think that next week will be the 11. But yeah, I mean, it's a good episode. It's a solid episode. I think for me, coming off the last few episodes where you got a lot of what you wanted out of The Mandalorian, I think that's where my score comes from. So I think next week will be another fulfillment episode. This one was just what I would consider to just be a good but not great episode. All right, so Beast Game Podcast, Mandalorian, come back next week! Season finale! Really?
Season finale, can't wait for that.
Where James goes, Boba Fett!
He did spruce up his armor a little bit. James younger like, ass mess off.
That vest was kind of hugging a bit last week.
The vest with the armor, when that shit was kind of hugging.
Beast Game Podcast.